when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, wherever you people are in the world. You're listening to Blood River Radio. That's right, you are listening to Blood River Radio. This is the only radio station in the United States that I'm aware of. It's syndicated nationally on AM and FM stations that is dedicated, started out being dedicated solely to raising awareness of white genocide, and with our poster child being that of South Africa. If you've been listening to us lately, our focus has changed slightly because South Africa, where they were several years ago, we're there now. Things are, I don't have to tell you people that are listening to Blood River. Most of you people are smarter than me and stay up to know the news, equal to or greater than I do. We are in one bad shape here, depending on who you talk to. But listen, today is September the 12th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2020. And if you people know that listen to Blood River Radio, we always go to the prayer. My number one prayer warrior, Matt, is too busy. I talked to him about 15 minutes ago. And also, Jacob, he's out swimming and stuff like that, taking a well-deserved break. So it's yours truly tonight, but I have a great guest coming up in just a minute. I'll announce him in just a minute. But people, if you will, please bow your head and suffer me through as I try to give a prayer. Okay, people, bow your heads. Dear Father in heaven, I'd like to thank you most of all right off the bat for bringing me and Matt home safely. We were on the road for about three or four days last week, and we went through a place that could have been explosive, but Lord, you kept the evil guys away from us. We had a good trip up there. The people rolled out the red carpet for us. God, thank you so much for letting us have a wonderful, safe trip. Thank you for letting us make friends. Thank you for protecting Blood River Radio. Thank you for protecting Liberty News Radio and all of our friends, God. And God, everything we do, we need to give you all the glory, all the praise, Lord. And I'll tell you what, Lord, while we're praying here, we're praying that the United States of America will do the only thing that's going to save this country, and that is we have to get on a knee. We have to seek forgiveness. We have to repent. We have to turn from our wicked ways, and we have to seek God's face. If we do all that, he's promised that he will hear our prayer and heal our land. So, Lord, we beseech all the people out there to do just that, to go to you in prayer, repent for our sins, turn to you, reject our evil ways. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. People, before we go to the before we go on, I would like to thank our donors while we were up at, and actually it should be Zinc, Arkansas. I mean, you're talking about isolated. It would probably make where Ike lives, probably make it look like Manhattan. I mean, you're talking about isolated. It's like 10 miles on the other side of nowhere in the middle of the Ozark Mountains of northwestern Arkansas. That's why we had such a hard time getting out last week. Were it not for Matt, my co-host, while I was up there running my mouth doing the speech, believe it or not, I was the keynote speaker, and I bombed it. I don't think it was a very good speech. But Matt and Sam, they were doing the heavy lifting. They got all the tech stuff done where we could broadcast out, and we did get out pretty good, even though the internet was pretty bad. But I'd like to thank our donors, Amanda and Jason Robb. They gave us a really nice donation, one of the best ones we've had. They really gave us more honor than we truly deserve. But I thank them so much. They're really good friends. We don't see eye to eye. By the way, we're at the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. God forbid. I can't believe we're up there with all those evil Klansmen. But anyway, They're the salty earth people. I'm telling you what, I've never seen any people more humble and kind and just all around good, decent family people than the people at the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. I will stand with them any day of the night or day. Also, I'd like to thank Pam and Dennis in Virginia. They sent me a handmade mask. It's a Confederate flag, Confederate battle flag. So I will wear that. I don't wear a mask. I go into the post office without a mask. You can ask my wife. I do not take a knee and submit to bail. But I will do this one just to stick it to people. I'll put that Confederate flag on. Anyway, now with all that out of the way, we have a guest coming on tonight. His name is Ike Baker. He's my brother. He's my brother in arms, Ike Baker. He is the director of operations with the League of the South. He is, I think he was about third in command, but he comes in the first Saturday every month. I screwed up and didn't let him know in time last week. I was thinking we'd be able to get out from Harrison, a.k.a. Zinc, and me and Matt could not get Jack. But we should have got in touch with him earlier, and we will do that. And we will do that in the future. I'm looking down here. Let's see. Okay. On the second hour, we're going to have Monica Schaefer. She hasn't been on in quite a while. She's been a regular guest, as you will know. In fact, we consider her almost like an honorary co-host. I spoke to another note I have to get out of the way. I spoke to Jason Bartlett today. He is the Vortrekker from South Africa. He's over here in the United States. If you've been listening to Blood River Radio, you know he's on a trek from Parson, Texas, I think outside of Austin, Texas. He was walking, but now he's riding a bike, pulling a little wagon, going to Washington, D.C., trying to bring attention to the global white genocide, specifically the genocide going on in South Africa. Also, let's see, what else? Pastor Everett Ramsey is having his big conference up in Houston, Missouri. I don't know if Matt can go to that, but me and Jacob are supposed to be up there, and I got to look at the dates, but it's somewhere in the middle of October. These road trips are just wearing me out, man. Also, let's see, okay, that's about it. But anyway, we're going to welcome our guest on tonight, and it's, like I said, it's Ike Baker. He's the Chief of Operations League of the South. How are you doing tonight, Brother Ike?
I'm doing great, Eddie. How are you?
Well, I'm doing. Hey, I barely had enough wind to get all those announcements out of the way, man. I'm a short-winded guy.
You know, I heard you talk about the remoteness of Zinc. There's so many isolated places like that in the Ozarks and the Appalachians. You know, this last couple of weeks has had me running down some gravel roads up here where I live in the Appalachians, and it's still white man's land, no doubt. You know, no doubt. And we've got one of those afternoons right now. I know you're familiar with this. The sun's out slightly. It's got that yellow cast to it. And, man, there's some big gray thunder clouds building up about to move in. Really beautiful in the mountains.
I love thunderstorms. I don't like to be out in the lightning, but I sure love storms. I like to hear that thunder lightning. It'll put me to sleep just like a drug every single time. And you know what? I thought about you when we were up there because I know – I think that the Appalachian Mountains are higher, but I'm going to tell you what, those Ozarks, they're about as rugged. They're extremely rugged mountains.
Sure,
we were up there, not too, you know, Jesse James country. Sam said we have tiny mountains, but I tell you what, they're rugged. The Jesse James boys were up there, probably about 100 miles north of there, they were in the Missouri, up there in Missouri, the Kansas line. But, I tell you what, Ike, we have so much stuff to talk about. If we had 6 hours, I'm hoping and praying if the donations keep coming in, I would love to go to third hour, maybe an hour during the week because we just can't get it all. But anyway, we talked about, I'm thinking, I tell you what, let me start off. We got so much to do. I'm going to read this about the information about the Knights Party and our beliefs, and then I'm going to get you to take off from that. Comment on this. This is out of their paper. They put out a wonderful paper. It's called The Crusader.
I get it.
I'm going to read this. I'm going to hurry up, and then I'll let you comment on it. And here we go. It says, the Ku Klux Klan was formed during the post-Civil War era of our country, a time in which federal troops occupied a newly defeated South and a black government was placed over the former Confederacy. The Klan was formed by white Southern men who realized that the problems they faced were caused by the tyranny of the federal government and they rose to the challenge of resisting their oppressors. With God on their side, these brave men stood their ground to defend white Christian morals, values, and honor. Through hard work and unfailing faith, these men were able to redeem the South, and they were lauded as heroes by the courageous Southern women. I would add they were being raped like the Yay-Yay. And they stood on their home principle. In 1915, see, that original claim started right after the Civil War. In 1915, the federal government had lifted immigration laws, and the United States was being flooded with Eastern European Jews and other non-whites. Our country was on the verge of a moral crisis once again. And once again, white Christian men came together to speak out for the interest of white Christian Americans and redeemed our nation's honor. Today, we face many of the same problems experienced by the early Klan. Our government no longer looks out for the interest of the people, but for those of non-whites and illegal immigrants. And that's so totally true, in my opinion. It again oppresses the federal government, oppresses and subjugates the American people. Like the Klansmen of the 1860s and early 1900s, it is our job as strong, like-minded Christians to stand up for the form of government our forefathers envisioned when they risked everything by founding the United States of America. Almost three, believe it or not. Well, I thought it was. As Klansmen, we must realize that our victory doesn't rely on our name, Ku Klux Klan, or in mindless violence, but instead on our Christian principles, faith, hard work, and diligence. The Klan is merely the banner that epitomizes the fight for our people. We must not hate others, but instead love our own people and work to take back our government, ensuing a better future for our children and grandchildren. I'll finish this. We're almost through with it after we get this break. Ike, and I think you could probably really take off on this. People, will be right back. We have our guest Ike Baker on, and we'll be right back with Blood River. You're listening to Blood River Radio, and I'm Eddie the Bombardier Miller.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, you're right back. It's September the 12th, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2020. We have Ike Baker on. He is the Chief Operations Officer for the League of the South. And I'm almost through with this article, and I just learned... My better ears to my left said that Ike said he has the paper, but thanks to too much incoming back in the day, my ears don't work like they should. But anyway, he says right here, I'm about to wind this up, the Ku Klux Klan is not a secret army or private fraternity, but a group of white Christians who witness the crisis we face today and realize that if we don't do something now, there may not be an America to pass on to our posterity. I'd just like to make one comment before going to Ike. Now, me and Matt went up there, and we went up there last year. And we will go anywhere. We will go anywhere in search of the truth. If we're wrong, if we make a mistake when we get there, if we wind up being with a bunch of criminals, a bunch of thugs, a bunch of lowlife that has all these stories have been spread about the Klan since I've been little. The Ku Klux Klan is supposed to be just a bunch of rabid, mad dog killers. That's not the truth. We found out that that's a total lie. And we also found out that if we exclude any, if we don't bring anybody in and give them their First Amendment rights, their God-given rights of free speech, that I think we're lying by omission. If we omit certain truths, if we fail to go and seek out the truth wherever it leads, to quote a friend of mine, let justice be done, though the heavens may fall. What do you think about that, Mr. Wright?
I've been around the Klan all my life. The generations older than me, my father's generation and my grandfather's generation were involved with the Klan when I was just a boy. I think that would be called the Third Klan, which was rejuvenated in the late 40s and early 50s to fight the burgeoning civil rights movement, which has obviously been terrible for the South. I can't speak about all the planks in the Klan platform, not being an initiated Klansman. I want to be clear about that. But my understanding of their aims is that, like a lot of folks, they believe that the Republic can be restored. Would that it were so. We've come so far down the slippery slope. I don't see how we restore the Republic at this point. It's a shell of what it was. It's controlled by foreign interests. The foreign policy of the U.S. is whatever's good for Israel. That'll never stop. We're being looted by Jews at every level. So I part ways with the beliefs as I understand them of the Klan over that. I don't think the Republic can be restored. But their strong Christian values, I stand with that four square. As I was saying to somebody recently, you know, it's Christianity that's going to bring the white race back to prominence. It's what carried us to prominence in the age of exploration, the age of colonization. We're the only race of people that ever chopped down whole forests to build fleets and sail across the unknown horizon. It's my belief that we represent God's highest expression as white men, and we've gotten away from that as a culture. We, men like you and I and the ones you spent last week with, haven't gotten away from it. We hold on to it. We're the remnant. We know that Christ will be back as a king to fight the battle. He's not going to come back as a little tiny baby in a manger. And so that aspect of the Klan platform, if we can call it that, I stand with that four square. As I'm pretty sure is well known, I'm a devoted Christian identity Christian. I don't believe Christianity is a club. It is a blood. We can't cast that which is holy before dogs or cast our pearls before swine. And that's the great mistake of Christianity for about the last, let's say, 150 years for sake of conversation. In the age of exploration, the age of colonization, the age of taming this planet, we weren't enthralled to the Jews. We weren't trying to turn every darkling on the planet into a Christian. We carried the banner of Christ around the globe, and we tamed the planet. We can tame the planet again. What will be the forms of government? What will be the political entities that actually arise? Well, I can't know that. Maybe the Republic can be restored, Eddie. Maybe the United States can be brought back to what it was and what it should have been all along, if the Immigration Act of 1790 had never been altered. But it's been altered several times. Last and most detrimentally to us is the Hart-Celler Act, commonly called the Immigration Act of 1965. Guess who Emanuel Celler was? A Jew congressman from Brooklyn. He had pushed it since the 30s. You know, I was just speaking with a cousin today who seems like I can get him woke up and get the red pill down his throat. We were talking about our rat-faced Levantine foes. You know, people who never had the reason to pay attention because they were comfortable, they're becoming very uncomfortable right now, and they're starting to pay attention. And I talked to this cousin, first name only, David. He's about 20 years younger than me, and we discussed the tiny hats, okay? We discussed the Jews. And in the Appalachians, there are so many dispensationalist and evangelical churchmen who pound the pulpit on Sundays, calling those people the chosen people. They've got these people so weak-minded and mush-minded about them, but our people are waking up. And I think the Klan and the values that the Klan carries forward can be in the vanguard of that. I support the Knights down in Arkansas morally and intellectually. You know, well, I've been together with that very well-known father and son you spent the weekend with last week. I think the absolute world of those two. Got nothing but respect, admiration, and affection for them. Maybe someday I'll be initiated into the Klan. Hasn't happened yet. I'm almost 60 years old, but it could come about. I would be very receptive to that. Frankly, I'd love to have been with you all last weekend. I bet it was just a wonderful time with some wonderful people.
We had a superb time, and you were missed. I thought about you off and on. You know, Dr. Hill was there, and mm-hmm. we were blessed to meet Dr. Hill before we got into zinc. And actually, past zinc even. Mm-hmm. I've had a hard time finding, did we go through zinc? Yeah, we went through zinc.
it's a wide spot in the road. Well, you know, this meeting, I was actually scheduled to come to this meeting when it was going to take place back in April, but then when it happened in September, that just wasn't in the cards for me.
Well, they're supposed to have one in April again, and man, I wish you and I and Dr. Hill and Matt
and the crew
could get together.
You know,
we would have a ball. I'll tell you one more thing about getting in there. I don't know if you know or not, but you have to go through these. You have to drive through creeks. The road literally goes through creeks, and we had to pass like three creeks. I thought, man, we must be on some kind of a vortex going back 200 years. You know, I expected to see Davy Crockett chasing the Indian anytime or Boozman. Go ahead, Ike.
You know, we can't get into remoteness bragging, because in the mountains it's kind of pointless. But I'm going to tell you what, as far as driving up creeks to get places and things like that, come and see me sometime, and I'll take you to see some relatives of mine who they deliberately live the old way. I really respect them for it. They live off down hollers. They live up on ridges, and yeah, driving up creek beds and driving up, we can't even call them roads. They typically navigate them with a mule and a sled. So, you know, living in rugged country, that is a white man thing, okay? I'm happier than could be to live where I live, and I know a lot of the fellows who live in that part of the Appalachians. We have league people in there who are just listen, it's a privilege to live right where your forefathers lived. I have that. Some of our league brothers in Arkansas have that. Other places, Alabama, East Tennessee. As a matter of fact, you know, the prospect of a white homeland centered on the Appalachians, I think, is extremely logical. This remains an incredibly homogenous part of the country. You know, my county, for instance, is 99.7% white, and they actually specify it out non-Hispanic white. There's lots of counties like that. Last fall at our conference in Pine Level, Alabama, Rick Tyler emceed us, and he spoke for a period about his idea of making a white homeland in the Appalachians and taking it county by county by county by county. And the Appalachians, it's part of what the cartographers call the Inland Mountain South. We're not the Deep South, but we're the Inland Mountain South. We have a slightly different accent in this part of the South. It goes all the way from West Virginia down to that part of northeastern Alabama where General Hill lives. You know, so the Appalachians are a broad geographical area, and the Ozarks are their own actual mountains, but they're not completely separate from the Appalachians. So the idea, when I say the Appalachians, I'm really talking about what's sometimes called the Southern Mountains. That's an old term. The Southern Mountains range from where you were out in Arkansas down in northeastern Alabama, all the way up through eastern Tennessee, eastern Kentucky, West Virginia. And I've always considered West Virginia part of the South, even though that political chicanery that took place in the early days of the war between the states took them out of the Confederacy and took them out of actually the state of Virginia. But you know, the idea of having a white homeland settled on the Southern Mountains, very logical.
You got that right, and I'll make a few comments because we have a lot of in common, not only our blood, but we have a lot more in common than our blood. My brother Ike. People will be right back, and we'll come right back to Ike Baker as soon as we get over this, hit the break for some commercials. Be right back.
Presenting pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Even as movie theaters, gyms, and salons are opening, and some states are allowing indoor dining, daily life in the United States won't get back to normal until at least late 2021, when a vaccine for COVID-19 could be widely distributed, according to the nation's leading infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci. And despite the fact the president said we're turning the corner in a campaign speech yesterday, Fauci disagrees.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, but I have to disagree with that, because if you look at statistics, they are disturbing. When people will be spending more time indoors, and that's not good for a respiratory-borne virus, you don't want to start off already with a baseline that's so high.
A report published by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that adults who tested positive for COVID-19 were twice as likely to report having eaten at a restaurant indoors within the last 2 weeks. This is USA Radio News.
Are you interested in making an extra $5,000 to $10,000 a month flipping tax-lien properties? Or buying tax-forfeited properties at 50% off market value to flip for even larger cash profits? Then listen. The Tax-Lien Wealth Builders Company is offering a free tax-lien investor kit to anyone that texts INVEST to 72000 right now. With this kit, you'll learn to use their formula and website to buy tax-liens anywhere in the U.S. that can earn you up to 18 to 25% returns secured by the government. It's so simple you can even do this from the safety of your own home if you have access to the right online tools. So if you're looking to become a real estate investor without getting dirty, fixing up houses, or unclogging toilets, text INVEST to 72000 now to get your free tax lien investor kit, plus free tickets to an online training session, and see how fast you can receive your first tax lien paycheck. You can't afford to wait. Text INVEST to 72000. That's tax INVEST to 72000 for your free kit now. Individual results may vary. Text INVEST to 72000.
Historic negotiations between the Taliban and Afghanistan's political leadership opened in Qatar, offering a great chance of peace after decades of war. The U.S. had hoped negotiations would start within 2 weeks of when it initially signed the peace deal with the Taliban. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo attended the opening ceremony. He met with Taliban co-founder Mullah Abdul Ghani Bardar, who heads the organization's office in Qatar's capital, and the members of the Taliban negotiating team, according to State Department spokesperson Dale Brown. Oxford University says their trials of a coronavirus vaccine it's developing with pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca will begin again days after pausing due to reported side effects in a patient in Britain. The university says in large trials, it's expected that some participants will become unwell, and every case must be carefully evaluated to ensure careful assessment of safety. It says globally, over 18,000 individuals have received study vaccines as part of the trial. This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back. And as I told you before, in case you're just as slow as I am on the draw, it is September the 12th, and the year of our Lord is September 2020. We're going right back to Ike. I was going to make a comment about how much me and Ike have in the common. My people came in, we traced them back eons ago, I guess late 1700s. They went into Kentucky when Kentucky was still like bloody Kentucky, man, fighting Indians out the wazoo. We have people, Miller buried there at Fort Boonesboro there on the Kentucky River. I think if I remember right, it's outside of Lexington. And also I have my grandfather on my mother's side married up with a lady from, she was born in the Oklahoma and Indian Territory, but he was an old Arky. And so I've got people from the Appalachia, just like Ike, and also have people in the Ozarks. I'm very proud of that. And those people are so much alike. They're strong, independent. I guess you could even call them stubborn. But I tell you what, they ain't changing for nobody. They've got their own ways to look at things. And You don't screw with them. You don't.
Scott's
my dad
Irish.
Used to say when I was a kid, amen, brother. My dad said, if you ever heard somebody call somebody SOB, you better find your place to lay down, because that's how they settle things with their fights. But back to you, Ike.
Yep.
You know, I know what you're talking about, Rick Tyler. I've heard Jacob Tyler, his son, talk about that. Explain some more about that homeland idea he has.
Okay, well, you know, I've heard it called the Appalachian Redoubt, and I want to be clear, Appalachia is a kind of a nebulous term. I certainly extend it out to the Ozarks, you know, any place where we can, any place where we can find for living space for our people, you know. But the idea that we could do this here, well, you know, if we have access to the Ohio River, that's a tremendous waterway for commerce. That is the that's the northern state border of Kentucky. Kentucky owns the river. A lot of folks don't realize that. The Ohio River actually belongs to the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Ohio ends at the northern edge of the water. So the idea that we could have a white homeland here, and I don't necessarily pose it as a resurrection of the Confederacy. That was a glorious four-year period in the history of our people, but we're not going to resurrect that any more than we're likely to resurrect the republic that's currently failing, falling dead, and dying. But what it would take is for enough folks to take it seriously, to invest political, emotional, financial capital in the territory that we can hold here. And it's not a physical environment that's necessarily friendly to urban people. And when I say urban people, I'm talking about your blacks, your browns, your Jews. You know, they're not people of the land. They're not going to ever find a place like this as home to them. By the way, I was going to mention something when you talked about Boonesboro. It's on the Kentucky River. It's a little farther away from Lexington than you might be thinking, but it's in that central region of Kentucky, probably just outside the Bluegrass region. And there's a tablet there. You mentioned having a forefather buried there. There's a big marble tablet there. Paying respects to some of the first white settlers who actually built the fort there. And my namesake is on that. There's an Isaac Baker on that tablet. So our roots go deep in Kentucky, Eddie, most certainly. And I have a strong emotional attachment to the place where I live. The expression I've heard, you may be familiar with it in one form or another, home is where you're dead or buried. Well, I've lived all over because of my time serving the empire and having relocated when I was a child to South Florida. But the only place in this world where my dead are buried is this part of the Appalachian Mountains. So would I leave here? I would need to have a very compelling reason to do so, and I probably wouldn't go far from right here. I'm very partial to East Tennessee. I took that route through the mountains between Knoxville, Tennessee, and Asheville, North Carolina, a couple of weeks ago. It's beautiful. Some people are drawn to mountains. Some people are drawn to seashores. Some people are drawn to flat plains. Some are drawn to cities. The mountains are where I belong. It's where I hope to live the rest of my life, and I'd love to see just legions of my white brethren come and make this place a white ethnostate. That's what we need. We need a blood and soil nation. We had one. We squandered it. We allowed it to be squandered away from us. I'm just through expending my energy and my heart and soul on trying to restore something that I don't think can be restored. You know, the Constitution, as we discussed when you and I spoke yesterday, that's not the holy document that it's presented to be, as some folks. You know, the Constitution was actually written and ratified under very questionable conditions in the summer of 1787. And those people who did that, they met there simply to revise the Articles of Confederation, and they kind of had a runaway conference. So everything that's happened to us, every time the will of white Christians have been subverted, it's been by a federal judge under the authority of the Constitution. So someone should feel free to convince me otherwise that the Constitution is good for us, because frankly, I think it's terrible for us. And you may recall I mentioned to you Patrick Henry himself. He felt the very same way about it. Patrick Henry said this: it was the most fatal plan that could possibly be conceived to enslave a free people. He flatly refused to participate in that constitutional convention. So if a person is set on expending their personal capital to restore all that, my question would be, why?
What is the I'll tell you what, I didn't know. If I did know, I had forgotten until I talked to you yesterday, that Patrick Henry was 100% against the Constitution. You know what? I admire no one of our founding fathers more than Patrick Henry. I mean, he was the real deal. But it's always bothered me two things in the Constitution, and I'm certainly no constitutional scholar. What's always bothered me is the name, unlike the Mayflower Compact and the other, I believe, state constitutions, the name Jesus Christ never appears. It'll say our creator, but, I mean, you know, there are many gods. Matter of fact, I was just listening today about 9/11, which I wasn't going to go into 9/11 because I'll explain that on the second hour, the reason I wasn't going to go in. I'll mention it, but we did like hours on end of that, and people want to go back on 9/11, look at the archives. But I'll just, since I mentioned that, since it is the 9/11 anniversary, yesterday, I would just say, I don't think you could add any more to than that the Jewish Mossad, the Black Ops, the shadow government, they were in on it. Everybody and his mama knows it, but nothing's going to be done about it. So I say, why spend more energy on that? We could be talking about things that are closer to our kilt and kin. But if you will, Ike, you seem to be up on this. Two questions.
Sure.
Let's see. About Patrick Henry. What was Patrick Henry's chief reservation? I think another fatal flaw, I think, was the courts. They gave the courts too much power, and even Thomas Jefferson complained about that. What would you do to fix it? Can it be fixed?
Here's what I've got. I actually located this during the break. Last summer, I spoke with the Florida League Conference down in Lake City, and I spoke after a constitutional scholar spoke, and I was asked to address, not necessarily rebut, although that's what I did. So I'd like to share this this brief vignette. This is anybody who was at that conference has heard this. I wrote this over a year ago. A careful analysis of the Constitutional Convention and the debates prior to the ultimate ratification of that document shows us that the federal government we have today is the federal government which was intended for us. That vaunted Constitutional Convention held in Philadelphia that summer was held in strict secrecy behind closed doors, even to the extent that in the heat of summer the windows were nailed shut. There, 55 men, mostly lawyers, met to address and remedy what they considered a too-weak central government under the Articles of Confederation. Though the convention had been called simply to make revisions to the existing Articles of Confederation, some delegates present had much different plans. These delegates were not charged by their respective states to scrap or even to materially alter the Articles of Confederation. Any change or material alteration to those articles required a unanimous vote of the states. This gross disregard for the rights of the individual states caused 16 of the 55 delegates present to not sign the final document, which we know became the U.S. Constitution. Many of those 16 left the convention before its conclusion and returned to their home states in disgust. Thus began the trampling of the rights of individual states to set their courses and govern their affairs as they saw fit to do, and thus began the all-powerful central government under whose boot we travail under this very day. So, now, granted, I didn't speak that off the cuff. I wrote that for a speech I gave over a year ago, but it's very true. And everything that's happened to us in the South, everything that's happened to white Christians has happened under the will of a black-robed federal judge, a Kritark, who has a lifetime appointment to inflict his will on us, to interpret the law as he or she sees fit to do. I mean, you look at the demographic makeup of the federal judges that have been appointed, let's say, in the past 30 years. You know, you've got a hodgepodge. You've got blacks, Hispanics, Jews, you know, and none of them have the best interest of white Christians at heart. As a matter of fact, they have our detriment at heart, and they have ultimate authority to rule us.
Well, I could not thank you more for coming out. I'd like to get you on again in the second. Our second hour usually has more time. I'll be calling you very soon, Ike. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Eddie. Pleasure being
Ike
here.
Baker? Yes, sir. And we're getting ready to go to our final break, and I believe Lee is going to.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Sam. Well, people, we're right back. We just let Ike Baker go, and Sam and I were having an intellectual discussion about the Constitution and the weaknesses that Ike thought. Sam said some stuff that I pretty much agree with. I think, we'll talk about that another time, about the Constitution. I don't want to take up too much of Lee's. Hey, Lee Cochran's on the line. How you doing, Lee?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Eddie. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on, my friend. But you know, I was just telling Sam that you and I have been meeting and eating and drinking coffee from time to time. In fact, I always go by my favorite coffee place, Ugly Mug, and then I meet up with Lee across the street at this place called Panera Bread, which is a Christian restaurant. They always support St. Jude, and Lee and I have solved many a world problem right there while I drink coffee and we eat. Well, anyway, Lee, I think that what you've got for us tonight, so glad to have you on. I think we've got, if I'm not mistaken, you sent me some of the really, really good articles, some of the best I've seen, about the coming forced vaccinations we've been hearing about. In fact, we tried to get old Lee to go up to Zinc, Arkansas with us, but he said he didn't think he belonged up yonder, up in them hills of the Ozarks. But go ahead, Lee, tell us about this, what we keep hearing about these forced vaccinations and all the crap that they supposedly putting in these vaccinations. This is your time.
Well, yeah, Eddie, I'm just saying they're probably going to try to do it through the states. I think Virginia and New York and California are going to say you're going to have to get this forced vaccine. It's experimental, and that's against the Geneva Convention. It's against our Constitution. And it's against the Nuremberg Code, everybody needs to call their state house and Senate representatives and say that you're concerned about the vaccine safety and you will not be forced to take it. And I called my state rep, and surprisingly, he agreed with me. But you're probably going to have to educate your representatives about all the issues. They think this thing is safe as candy, but it's not. It's going to change your DNA. And in England, they found out, believe it or not, there's some sterilization agents in there. I was listening to David Knight, and they were saying that a whistleblower said that there's sterilization and also one of my relatives is a scientist, and he volunteered to take it up there in Boston. Man, I'm sure, and I hope he doesn't come down with cancer. And, you know, they're going to put microchips in it. It's going to be a disaster. And I would email your state representatives or call them. If you have time, call them. And then email them. I've got a email and call my state senator. I did my house. But we better get on the offensive because they're going to try to force it down us. And if we get all sick from the military, it's going to have to take it. If they get sick, you know, it's in the Chinese plan to invade us once we all get sick from the virus or from the vaccination, and that's what they're waiting on. And some of this, they said in England, their vaccine will take to get fully sterilized to take 6 or 7 years. And then after that happens, everybody won't be able to have children. So Gates is up to his old tricks like he did in Africa when he sterilized over 1 million black women under the cover story of a tetanus shot. And he hurt 500,000 Indians with that polio vaccine of his. And I think they threw him out. And you know, he increased the polio vaccines from 5 to 50 in the first 5 years. So he's not trustworthy. And they did have they stopped the vaccine. The vaccine trials are not, they skipped the animal trials. And I think that it failed the animal trials. And now they're going to do it directly to humans, Eddie. I don't know what we can do. And also, I would encourage everybody to join Defend America Now. It's an Oath Keepers group to help you organize your state local armed citizen group to defend America Now. It doesn't cost anything to join, and the Oath Keepers will direct you how to organize and work with local authorities if they're so inclined. It's Defend America Now, because I was trying to join it last night, but it was hard to, you know, my computer was down. That's a new group I didn't know about. And if you want to know more about vaccines, do vax.com, VAXXED.com, vax.com. That's Sherry Tenpenny's site. And then there's Dale Bigtree site, the highwire.com. And then there's David Knight, I think, .com. He's with band.video. And there's another site, Brighton.com. That's Mike Adams. That's Mike Adams, the Health Ranger site. That's a good site. Mike Adams, Health Ranger. Brighton, that's his own site, so they can't censor it. And I've been censored on Facebook. I can only send out five emails to friends. I used to send them to 30, but they limited me to 5 to how many people I can send emails to. That's ridiculous. And I think this is FEMA camps, I think, are coming up in Ohio. They're going to say, well, if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to have to go to camp, or they'll come kidnap your children and hold your children hostage until you take the vaccine. So we're in for a big trouble, and Antifa's going to surround the White House in the next week or so. I don't know. We need to be proactive. We need to defend the White House. And it's going to be just one riot from, one problem from here until after the election. And I think the woman chairman, because if it's unsettled, she'll be the new president, and that'll be terrible. Then we'll have to declare independence, and they're having fires in California started by Antifa, and there's lasers coming in starting to help the fires in California and Oregon. in Washington. So we're in for, you know, big trouble. And, you know, they're saying it's going to be a tent offensive on the night before the election, you know, the election returns. Because it looks like Trump's going to win.
Well, you don't think they'll cancel the football game, do you, Lee? That's my question. How's this going to affect the NFL, Lee?
I don't know, the football game. I don't know. I don't think we should watch. Half the games are rigged anyway, but I don't think we should watch it.
I'm just kidding you. You know what? You've said enough. We could do an hour and a half show and stuff you said. But, you know, you mentioned a Tenpenny, Sherry Tenpenny. People, in case they've been listening, she is a really well-known medical doctor. Her daughter, Lee, do you know, did her daughter die? I'm going back to like 15, 20 years when Dr. Sherry Tenpenny got in. She got heavily involved in vaccinations. Along about the same time this Wakefield guy in England did. I always want to call him Jeremy up Wakefield, but I always get his name wrong. I'm sure Sam knows it. But, you know, her daughter took vaccinations, and she was severely crippled mentally, physically. She may have even died. Another great physician was a Dr. Russell Blaylock, who was in the textbooks. He was a head honcho of the medical school, University of South Carolina. He's in the surgical tech. He was a brain surgeon who got into nutrition, studying vaccines. They all say the same thing, that the vaccines per se are very dangerous because for years it's been known that they put mercury in there in the vaccines. It's a substance called thimerosal. And if you look up thimerosal, it's just a kind of a brand name for mercury compound. And they put this stuff called squalene tissue that causes a hyper immune reactions. But you know what? That's kind of old hat. The stuff they're doing with these vaccines now, what we've been hearing about, Lee, is they are completely, and I think you mentioned it, programming our DNA.
Celeste Salom, S-O-L-U-M, she has a good site. She's a whistleblower on FEMA, and you go to her site, and she was saying it's just terrifying what she's saying. I hate to say that, they said they've been practicing guillotine little mice to guillotine you. I know that sounds far-fetched, but I don't think it is.
Lee, you're right. They've been rolling out guillotines in front of the White House, in front of the government buildings in Portland and Seattle. I think they even had one in Salt Lake, not too far from Sam's. The Sam's probably got one hell of a reputation. They're probably after him up there because he's a patriot. But, you know, you have said a mouthful. You know, Lee, let me ask you this. Now, do you have a secure website where people could get in touch with you for other information? Because you seem like you're just a wealth of this information, how can people get in touch with you to get further information, Lee? Because we're at the run out of time.
Well, you can go, call my Facebook page is Lee Cochran. Lee Cochran Facebook. And my email is CochranLee63@gmail.com. Cochran, CochranRan Lee, LEE 63 at gmail.com. And I've got a Facebook page, LEE Lee Cochran, Memphis, Tennessee.
They can always get in touch with send me an email at Blood River Radio, because I've been knowing Lee for years. As a matter of fact, Lee mentioned the Oath Keepers. Lee and I were some of the founding members of the Oath Keepers in West Tennessee. God, what, 20 years ago, Lee? 15 years? It's been years ago. We got infiltrated and got broke up as all organizations. Lee, thank you so much, man. You were rolling tonight, but we got to go. We're getting ready to transition into another hour. People, we're getting ready to go. We're going to have Monica Schaefer come up for the second hour, people. Thank you again, Lee. Thank you, Sam. We'll be right back,
people. All right, bye.
Get you some coffee. Bye-bye. Be right back, people.